Welcome to the One of Many Voices podcast with Jo Martin, the founder of One of Many. You'll meet one of many inspiring women who are helping us to implement our soft power, learn to be ever more effective and ever more fruitful. Today, Jo is speaking to entrepreneur and expert in authentic sales, Catherine Watkin. Catherine is founder of Selling From the Heart, which quickly became a six-figure business when she launched it. She helps business owners take the ick and manipulation out of selling. She's been a roundtable mentor at several of our retreats and has been a great support to a number of our ladies in the One of Many community.
So, Kath, it's so good to have you on the line today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always really exciting to do something for your ladies.
It is fab. And I've got to say, we were just talking before we kicked off here, ladies, about our Wychford Fair. We just recently had the Village Fete. And for the last 3 years, Catherine has been our guest at our Village Fete, knowing that the first 2 years it was absolutely pouring down with rain. And this last one, it was sunny. The last two have been sunny. You missed a beautiful sunny day the other day. We should have had you here again.
Yeah, but maybe if I came, it would have rained again. Maybe I'm the one who brings the rain.
I don't know. You've been to one sunny one with us, haven't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think there was only one really bad rainy one, actually. The others were nice.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It's the old English summer. We have to love it. We have to love it. Mm. Now, I'm particularly excited about having you today, Kath, because we've got a lot of ladies in the community these days, some of who are self-employed. They're running their own small business, may have been doing so for, you know, a couple of years, but they're still very much at startup phase, don't yet have that reliable stream of clients. And sitting alongside them, we're attracting more and more women who are in corporate jobs. When I say corporate, not necessarily big corporate, but they're in employment in somebody else's organization. But they're wondering whether or not they should start their business. They're often looking at a career transition and not knowing if it's moving to another job or whether they should be thinking about, you know, setting up as a consultant or doing coaching or you know, setting up on their own in some way, shape or form. And if I was able to do one thing for women who find themselves in that boat, it would be to tie them down and say, don't make the leap until you've got the education on how to get a client, because it's the thing that is hardest, isn't it? So why do you think we women find it so challenging? And maybe it's not just women, maybe it's people in general, but why do we find it so hard to get those first few clients and to get into a rhythm of getting clients, do you think?
Oh, that's a great question. And I think it's a combination, because I've almost got the one answer when you say, why do you think women struggle? Mm. Because I do think women struggle with it more than men.
Ah, but then why do you think that is?
Now, I can't speak for all women, because not all women would fit into this category. So if we took my sister as an example, she probably wouldn't fall into this category. So it's a quite a broad generalization. But on the whole, I find that women tend to have, they're just less confident than men. They tell themselves more. There's more, am I really good enough? And it's the same in the workplace. You know, the man will go for the big promotion and get really promoted, but he's actually not competent. Mm. While there's this really hugely competent woman who doesn't even apply for the job because she thinks, do you know what? I don't think I'm ready. I don't think I'm good enough. Who do I think I am to apply? And I think that women generally, but not every woman, has more of that sort of belittling self-talk going on.
Yeah. Do you know, it was interesting. I was reading some research recently about the education system, and it was, I have to get the details of it because I've been speaking about it a bit, but I've forgotten the details. But they did some research into gender neutral education, and they've made gender neutral classrooms for, I think it was kindergarten or really early on. And they looked at the difference between self-esteem between the boys and the girls. And there was a difference of a factor of 8 points difference at the beginning. And then that reduced to a difference of 1 by the end. And it's because of this confidence thing, you know, that we're living in this, and their postulation was, we live in a place where all of our unconscious bias is he this and you know, the lawyer, well, he did that, or the policeman, well, he did that, or the engineer, he did that. And so unconsciously we're getting this fed that we don't fit in, you know, we don't fit the mold. So of course it's going to bang around our self-esteem right from the very beginning, isn't it? So it makes sense to me that you know, when we're grown up and we're trying to start a business or trying to go for promotions or whatever, that lack of confidence is the thing that holds us back. I mean, how did you How did you get into this? Have you had a, you know, for you, have you found confidence as an important part of you in your business success? Tell us your business story and how you've overcome, you know, confidence type issues along the way.
Oh, well, I think my one message for all the ladies listening is that if they are thinking of starting a business is don't wait until you're confident to get started.
Mm.
Because if I'd waited to feel confident, I would not have achieved what I have done. And I think that very, very often the confidence comes through the doing. So at the beginning of my business, there were so many things that I did. And, you know, Joe, you were my mentor back in those days. And I know Greg as well. I always remember talking to Greg like 3 days before my first ever big live event and how totally terrified I was in that moment. And I always feel like whenever I get asked, you know, what are the secrets to my success in business, I've got this little recipe that I share now. And one of them for me is the courage to do things even when I'm absolutely terrified, because at the other side of the courage to go out and do something is then I start to get results and then I start to grow in confidence. And of course, that's a practical piece too, because I think that if, you know, because this is where I could have gone with the answer about why do people struggle to get their first client? It's that most people just don't know what they don't know about how to market and sell themselves in business. And so there is an element of don't just get out there and be really courageous and then, you know, it's you don't know what you're doing and it's going to flop and it's going to knock your confidence even more. It's like learn some basic skills, understand what it is you're trying to achieve, understand how the sales and marketing principles work, and then go out and be courageous, because that's where the confidence will come from. And I see too many women getting stuck in this waiting until I'm confident and then I will do this thing. But the confidence is actually at the other side.
So we kind of need both, don't we? We need confidence, you know, it's an inner resource, but we also need structure or education, if you like those external resources too, is what I'm hearing you say there.
Yes, we need the both. We need like the practical, the knowledge, you know, like you wouldn't just get into a car and start driving the car without having driving lessons. You wouldn't just turn up to a foreign country and just start talking without having learnt the language. There's so many things that we do that we know we need to learn in order for us to actually be able to do it. And for some really strange reason, people don't seem to think that way about business. They just
Do you think that's madness, isn't it? They just think,
I'm just going to start a business,
but it's not the case, is it?
No. So they'll go and train in the thing that they do and become a specialist. They might become a coach or a hypnotherapist, or they're already an accountant and they want to go and set up their practice. And there's almost this blind spot to the fact that there's an entire skill set that we all have to learn. And like, you were one of my teachers back in my early days in business, but I invested in my learning so that I understood the sort of on the practical side what I needed to do. And then I still needed a good dose of courage to go out and do those things. And that's always, you know, almost ironically, I think getting the practical stuff and getting the what I call the business education, getting the education is actually easier than actually getting through the inner stuff sometimes, but they do go hand in hand.
It's very true, very true. So when if you're talking to someone and they're about to start their business or they're thinking of starting a business, what are the ducks that you would say you got to get these lined up before you're going to see success? So we can imagine it's either, you know, it's Mary, she's been in her business for 2 years but hasn't really got a steady stream of clients. You ask her what she does and she's a bit, you know, she's a bit, no one really understands when she says it. You kind of think it's got something to do with maybe graphic design, but you're not sure. or it's Sally. She's been a great graphic designer for somebody else and she's thinking about maybe going and starting up her own design firm with a difference, but maybe should she not? What do you think are those bits of business education that someone needs in place, those decisions that they need to have before they're going to really start to be able to attract more clients?
Well, to begin with, I'd want to know from each individual what success actually means to them, because that will then sort of dictate the advice that I give. Because success means, you know, somebody might want to replace a £20,000 income, for example. Other people have got a vision of a six-figure business. And what tends to happen is that people start getting interested in business, and then they go online, and then they get bombarded with these messages that tell them that they're supposed to have a six-figure online business. And actually, it just almost puts them into a state of paralysis. So, but provide, you know, depending on what somebody's aiming for, one of the most important things, and where I start with everybody, is to get as clear as possible about the ideal client. Now, if somebody's never had a client at all, you don't need to even have an ideal client to go out and actually start enrolling new clients. But it's much more, it is much, much more difficult. So even if you sort of pretend, even if you're sort of feeling your way and you develop, you have one ideal client one week and you change it and have a different one the next week, you're sort of feeling your way to what works for you. But getting really, really clear on who it is. And this word ideal client, the word avatar is also used. It's where you get really clear on one person in the world who you are uniquely and feel really called to help. They can be fictional. They can be somebody real that you've met or you've worked with before. But when you can really tune into this person, like, who are they? What are they struggling with? What do they want more than anything? Where do they live? You know, what do they earn? What sort of holidays do they go on? And actually create them into a real human being. It's so much easier to then design something that that person actually wants to buy. And it's so much easier to communicate what you do when you meet people. So within my programs, I always start with what I call the captivating introduction, which is when you meet somebody, whether you're networking or you're just at a wedding or a party at the weekend, and somebody says to you, what do you do? Instead of mumbling something to do with graphic design that nobody understands, you have an answer that has people go, oh my gosh, that's what you do. I think I might need you. Or my brother's got a business and I think he might need your services. It's that like click when the person listening just, they know what you do, they get it. And a lot of people struggle so much with that piece of communication.
I would say from, you know, I'm thinking now of the, you know, tens of thousands of people that I've asked that question to over the years, you know, being a, as you say, used to be an educator in the business realm. 95% of people have a crap answer for that, don't they, really? It's so important that what do you do? If someone doesn't just get it, the foundations upon which everything else is built is kind of shaky. So nailing that to start with is crucial, isn't it? And I think I often see people go and start to, you know, spend money on getting websites done and all the rest of it until they don't actually have a good answer for that. So how do they know what copy to put on their website, you know, what they're going to write? Do you think people should get clients before they start building all of those kind of more solid marketing materials, or do you recommend people go and do those marketing materials first?
Now, I would want to see somebody actually prove their concept first. I'd want them to go and demonstrate that they can say what they do, because if you a website is an online tool. If you can't get somebody in an offline situation where the relationship is much quicker to build and it's much more real and deep and genuine, if you can't communicate what you do clearly offline and take that person into a situation where they buy from you, you will find it even harder to do it online.
So you reckon get out, network, try and sell it first, prove your concept, and then is the time to start packaging that other stuff.
Yeah, and also a lot of people when they're new to business, they don't have much money for a website. And so how exciting is it to use the money that you get from your first two clients to go and get your website built?
Yeah, true, really true. Now, the other thing you're really well renowned for, Catherine, and a lot of our clients, a lot of the One of Many community have done your programs, is helping them with those startup business foundations, you know, getting clear on the ideal client, getting clear on the vision, all of that kind of stuff. But you've also got some really great recipes for selling, and not just selling, but selling from the heart. I wonder if you could share with us, you know, what are the key mistakes that people are making when they try and sell their programs or their products or their services when they first start out, and how should we be approaching it differently?
One of the biggest mistakes I think I see people make is that they are too caught up in thinking about how it makes them feel.
Right.
So there's a lot of, oh, I feel really uncomfortable about sales. What if the person thinks that I'm pushy? What if I get rejected? What if this person doesn't buy? I really need the money this month. And if they don't buy, that means I'm a complete failure and my business will never work. The story is all me, 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 me. And what they're doing is that they're forgetting that to sell in the way that I teach. Now, I don't teach the traditional old-fashioned sales paradigm either. So this is quite different to what people might learn through traditional sales training. For me, it's all about the client. And if you can put the client first in the sales conversation, it's so much easier to help to have this conversation that guides them to be able to make this decision about working with you. And it feels so much more comfortable. You know, if you're coming to a sales conversation from a place of, I really care about this person I'm about to speak to, and I really, really want the best for them, whether that's working with me or not, that helps the sales conversation to really flow and feel very comfortable for both parties. And the potential client can also tell that you're not just in it because you want to make a quick buck yourself. You're actually in it because you care. That's one big piece. Another big piece is sort of what we're touching on already, and it's the being able to articulate what they do. So it's very common that small business owners are really excited about what they do, or they've got something that they do and they're so excited about helping people, but they've never learned how to actually articulate that in a way that when they describe it, the client goes, oh my gosh, you really get me. And what you're describing sounds like just what I need. And I think I do want to work with you. So people really seem to struggle with that, communicating it in a way that the potential client can hear. So that's something that I put quite a focus on in my trainings.
I get it. Yeah, that's so, so important. So if you've got that one, you become interested to the point of obsession about the client rather than your own feelings. And then mm-hmm. two, your ability to then, once you understand them, overlay what you do to them, overlay what you do for them so that they understand it in their own terms. You get those two pieces, then the sale's really made, isn't it? Because they understand it in their context.
Yeah, and I call this the internal yes. So this is what I'm trying to teach. I'm teaching a process that helps the potential client get an internal yes, because if they get what I call the internal yes themselves, they don't need to be closed or manipulated or pushed into anything. They've already had the internal yes. Now, someone can have an internal yes, and there's this energetic pull towards you like, oh my gosh, I think I want to do this, but they still might not say yes. And that's because there's all sorts of concerns and resistance and maybe worrying about money and is it really going to work? But once they've got the internal yes, it's so much easier to guide them through some of those worries than if they haven't got. And this is what traditional sales training often is a lot more focused on, just trying to persuade people to do something. But if the client's already got the internal yes, you're more of a guide than somebody who's hitting them with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, yeah, which is much more powerful. And I know I'm just thinking I would kind of love to ask you the question about what's the structure for getting that internal yes, but I know we probably won't have time to go through that now. But I think you've got a template around it, don't you, Kath?
I actually have a series of free videos, and I know that when this podcast goes out, there's a blog going to be going out with it, and that blog links through to it's called the 7 Steps to Yes Training, and it's a series of 8 3-minute videos that talk you through how to have one of these sales conversations, it's the whole 7-step structure.
Oh, brilliant. So I think for everyone who's listening, if you're thinking about starting a business sometime soon, or you've started a business and it's just not growing in the way that you need, highly recommend getting that series from Kath. You'll get to know her a bit better, but importantly, you'll have one of those key pieces to the foundational business success, which is the ability to get someone from a conversation to that yes, to becoming a client, because otherwise we don't have a business. We've just got a really expensive hobby, right? So that said, Kath, what do you think, what are your kind of top 3 tips? Because you've been successful in business. You've gone from concept. I mean, you could always sell well before, you and I started working together. You know, sales was your thing. You've always been great at sales. But there was, like you say, there's this whole other business piece around it that you'd been filling in. But you made a lot happen in a very short period of time, and your business grew to 6 figures very, very quickly. So what do you think have been those? You've talked about confidence already, but if there were 3 important things that you think someone needs to have in place to get something happening, you know, on their terms but quickly, what do you think would be important for you?
Well, I really believe that actually paying for the, I know we talked about it already, but paying for the education. So you were one of my first early business mentors, and I wouldn't have been able to do what I did or achieve what I did without learning from people who had walked that path before me, who were able to see what I couldn't see and teach me some of the basics. And I see it a lot in my clients now. If I, you know, when I can see that they don't know what they don't know. We don't know what we don't know. So getting the education, I think, is a really important piece. Another important piece for me is focus, because what I see a lot of is people start up in business and then they start up in business and they've got this vision of being able to have this sort of like lifestyle freedom type of business where they can go to yoga and go out for lunch every day. But yes, they can have that. But actually, the early days of a business is quite, you have to work to make it work. So businesses don't just happen on their own. And it's not just focus around time. It's also, there's so many different shiny objects and shiny messages out there. And what I see a lot of is people who are really at the early days in the business getting torn between, you know, one week I'm doing an online program and the next week I'm doing this other thing and the next week I'm doing this other thing. It's like, no, you focus on one thing and you do it and you focus on it until you get it working.
Yeah.
Or until you can see that it's definitely not working. And that's, you know, for me, I'm very focused both from a time perspective, because my business has always been my priority, and I'm very focused from a what I'm doing. And I have a very simple business. I really have two levels of things that I sell, and I've sold the same things for 5 years and it works. You know, year on year clients get great value, year on year I've got a great business. And I think if I started adding more things into the mix, I made a mistake actually in 2013. I did have extra things and I really set myself back, because I was selling more different programs and products and levels than was really workable.
I think focus is crucial. You're right, focus on what it is you're doing, giving it that attention, because everyone wants the 4-hour work week after Timothy Ferris wrote that book. But what you and I know is to get to the point where you have a 4-hour work week, and it's possible, you know, I've certainly had that in the past. I don't have it now because I've got a bigger vision with this business and I'm happy to put in more hours. But, you know, I had a great lifestyle business and I reckon it probably was a 8-hour work week on average. It looked more like 4 months on and 8 months off kind of thing. But having said that, it took really dedicated 40, 50-hour weeks to get there, quite frankly, and it is hard to do that when you've got lots else going on. And I think that for me, that's one of the reasons why if you're looking to career transition, I'm not a burn your bridges kind of gal. I don't know about you, Kath, but the jumping out with nothing behind you financially, that for me just feels stressful. So starting something on the side gradually, knowing that you've got something that works for you and proving the concept by having a few clients, you know, on the side, for me that feels so much easier. Would you do it that way if you had your time again?
See, my story's a little bit different because I'd left my job about 5 or 6 years before I started the business, because I'd gone on this long journey of seeking, and I was able to do freelance sales work alongside my business. I definitely see too much of women doing this, hey, I'm going to be really brave and I'm going to burn my bridges and just go for it. But businesses don't happen overnight. There is a long period where you're trying different things, or you know, you might get the, you know, you're getting clients, but the business isn't where it's going to be maybe in 1 or 2 years time. And I see women falling into such a paralysis of anxiety. The anxiety around money can just paralyze people, and it cuts off all of their flow and creativity, and it takes all the joy and fun out of it. And I do believe that for most women, knowing that their income is, that their basic security is taken care of, is important. Now, for some women I've worked with, they have done so well in the corporate world that they're able to fund themselves for a period of time, or they're financially comfortable in that they have investments that they live off. But I think just going completely sort of cold turkey to have no income at all, and expect that you're going to cover that income very quickly in the business, it can be counterproductive. So I like the idea of, you know, getting the first few clients around the business and then maybe going to part-time if that's possible. That's ideal.
Yeah. Or as you say, using a skill freelance, you know, on the side, you know, for you, it was sales you know, there might be a different business that you can work in where it might have a different setup. So you're not working 40 or 50 hours a week in a corporate job, but perhaps in a small business where you get to learn small business as well, while you're doing whatever it was you did in a larger kind of organization. I think those kind of transition steps are so crucial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even leaving to work for, you know, a lot of people might leave and then work for businesses like yours and mine in maybe a PA role or a technical support role. So even perhaps a more junior role than they did in their other role, but they're actually inside the industry that they want to be part of. They're learning about it from the inside. They're making contacts and making connections while they're building the business. So that's also a great way. There's lots of different ways of doing it, but just cutting off an income completely, if you need an income, can be very stressful for a woman.
Yeah, and it gets us out of flow super fast, so not recommended. Look, Kat, there's been some really great wisdom today, not just obviously from the point of view of marketing and sales and all of that kind of stuff, but your perspectives on what it takes to build up successfully and to do it without fear and anxiety, or in the face of fears perhaps is a more appropriate way of putting it. It's been really, really fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. If people want to find out more about you, what website should they go and check out, honey?
My online home is at sellingfromtheheart.com, and there's a quiz there on the authentic sales style. So if anyone's curious to know what would actually make them naturally good at sales and what are the things that block them from being good at sales, it's a great quiz they can go and take. It's lots of fun.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Go check that out. That sounds awesome. I love it. Well, thank you very much for your time, Kath. I hope whatever it is you've got in store for the days and weeks ahead, it keeps you having lots and lots of fun doing what you do. And we look forward to seeing you as one of our one of many mentors at one of our retreats really soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks, honey. Bye.